Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back, and Brian finally decided, hey, maybe we should come back on the air after about 10 minutes of BSing here. Gary and John and the other John will be back in a minute. He decided to walk away for, you know, for a little walkabout. But anyway, we're going to have Brad Kurtzberg come on in a couple minutes from the ESTN Sports Network to talk more stuff. And, hey, John, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it. Again,
how was your walk?
Yeah, you walk about all right?
Doing good.
That's what we just want to hear. Tony, interesting. Tony Granato, now the head coach of the Wisconsin
Badgers. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty interesting story. Claude Giroux had a nice little
I was going to ask you guys about that. Did anybody see that game?
I didn't see the game. I just heard he was taken off the ice, but they said he's going to be playing tomorrow night. In their next game, so
not good news right now.
Pittsburgh tied it up 2-2. Yeah. Anyway, we got our next guest, a frequent visitor of Sports Talk 1240, my show and other shows. He's also been a co-host from time to time. He is the one, the only, the infamous, the legend, who's known as Brad Kurtzberg, and he joins us. Brad, it's Gary, John, and John. What's up, dude?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Infamous. I like that. Infamous. I wish somebody would call me infamous.
Yeah.
Give us a half hour, John. We'll come up with something. So I know you're sitting at home watching the hockey going on. Pittsburgh just tied it 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2 game right now. And you know, this is the thing. The NHL is not going to do it anytime soon, but I really would like them to get rid of the loser point or at least alter the way they award them, because here the Islanders are in a situation where, I mean, I would assume they want the Rangers to win, all things being equal, Islander fans, but you can't have overtime. More than anything else, you want this to be a two-point game, not a three-point game.
Right, right.
And that's a ridiculous way to watch a hockey game.
Again, I've been saying it for years and years and years. Do it like they do in Europe. 3 points for a win, 2 points for overtime shootout, 1 point for, you know, and then this way, winning in 60 is more important than winning in 65 plus.
But don't they do, with the regulation? If you have a tie, the regulation win comes.
Yeah, it is. But
and that breaks the tie.
It is,
right?
But, you know, you smart people, you know that kind of stuff. But to the average Joe hockey fan, they're still complaining about it. So, make it 3 points and make it work.
Yeah.
I like that way. Probably even more than just if you win, you get 2 points. If you lose, you get none. Forget the overtime. Forget the shootout. I think that's fairer. It'll skew all the old records because you'll have to figure out, you know, like if a team gets 180 points in a season, what would that have meant before 2017 or whatever?
Well, you know what? That would be hockey's version of the metric system. You know,
exactly.
Double it and add 30.
Exactly.
You know, unless you're a frantic Islander fan, you're biting your nails every time praying that they get to overtime so you get the point. I understand what you're saying, though. But I agree with you. It would make the game a big difference in the game, too.
Be cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think here? We were talking a little bit, before the top of the hour regarding the playoff scenario. I mean, to me, obviously we don't know what's going on here, but, I mean, both conferences, it's getting real exciting. I mean, who would have thought, you know, the way things were going that Chicago might have a problem getting in?
It's coming down to the wire, and yeah, they are limping in toward the finish. And there's a few teams I wouldn't have expected Detroit to have a problem either, and they may be on the outside looking in as well.
They haven't missed the playoffs since George W. 41, so yeah. That's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to love the way that this playoff race is shaking up, and you know, in the Western Conference, pretty much there's seven teams who more or less we know are in, and then you got sort of that race for eighth. But I tell you, it's an exciting finish to the season, and there are so many combinations. And the wild card just sort of throws an extra little twist on it. So there's a lot more unknown than there would be if you just went straight divisional.
The only one problem is if you're a Canadian citizen, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're done.
Is this the first time since, 1970 that there's going to be
no Canadian team?
Shame.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And who would have thought that at the beginning, turn the clock back for the first month of the season.
Right.
When Montreal was playing.
Yeah, Montreal had 9-0 in one start.
Yeah, most of the Canadian teams were playing well or, you know, looked like they were going to make the playoffs.
Well, we knew Toronto wasn't.
Well, they had besides
Edmonton,
them.
You knew Edmonton was going to
well,
be.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, see, the rumor mill is that they're going to sign Brad Kurtzberg to a contract, and that's going to make the difference, Toronto.
Where's he going to play? Left out?
Left out, yeah. I'd be the best black ace they ever had.
That's very good. That's very good. But, again, you know, Dallas and St. Louis tied for first in the conference at 95. L.A. is in with 99. L.A. with 95. And, again, who would have thought – when John and I did our show the 2 days before Christmas, the Anaheim not only was in the bottom of the Western Conference, but had the worst goals for in the entire league. And right now they're, you know, at 92 points.
It's amazing.
Too much talent on that roster, just offensively even, for them to not score consistently over the course of the season. You knew they were going to break out. The question was, you know, were they going to break out in time and how big of a breakout would it be? But, you get the feeling Anaheim is right where they're supposed to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And it looks, and the way things look right now, I mean, Minnesota is sitting in the number eight position, 5 points ahead of Colorado, with Colorado with one game in hand. I mean, that's basically it. After that, it's Arizona, 5 points behind them. So it's basically either Minnesota or Colorado for the eighth spot. But just the positioning enough is crazy. I mean, you know, and Chicago, as we said, you know, they look like, you know, they were going to steamroll in. They're limping.
Especially at the trade deadline, picking up Ladd, and, you know, it just looked like they basically solidified the fact that they were going to be in the finals again.
Well, I wouldn't count them out just yet, even though they're playing poorly now, just because if there's any type of team that can sort of flip on the switch, it's a veteran team that's been there before, and to me that's your Chicago's, your L.A. Kings, you know, teams that, you know, they could struggle in March and turn it on in April, and it wouldn't shock me. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if L.A. Kings end up making it to the Cup because they had a defense and the goaltending. They've done it twice. Quick has won two, and they got great defense.
I'm sorry. I just thought you had your Jonathan Quick jersey on right now.
The thing to me, you know, you talk about Quick, but also to me the value of a guy like Drew Doughty was up astronomically in the playoffs because he comes in and he'll play 35, 40 minutes a game if he has to, if it goes to overtime or what have you. And, you know, he's just so smart with the puck and so like a half step ahead of so many other players when he has the puck that he really becomes a difference maker in those playoff games.
Now, just switching to our local guys, do you think that maybe some of us in Islander Nation should start like getting soothsayers and other types of mediums to help this team right the ship over the last eight games?
Do you think we're going to make it?
I think
right on the spot.
I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't necessarily think they're going to win a round, though, which really puts them sort of right back where they were a year ago. And realistically, I don't think this team looks as good as they did a year ago.
No.
Losing Halak has hurt, but the inconsistent goal scoring, I think, is sort of the biggest issue. And I did an article on Inside Hockey last week about it. You look at the overall season and the three young players, your Brock Nelson, your Anders Lee, and your Ryan Strome, those guys have not really progressed as offensive players, as NHL players this year. And I think the fact that they didn't go out over the summer or at the trade deadline and bring in another offensive piece of the puzzle, that was their plan. These three guys, at least two of them probably, were going to take that next step in their development. And realistically, at best, maybe Brock Nelson equaled his development, but they really have taken a step back.
Yeah, I mean, Brock is one of the most streakiest guys I have ever seen. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's got 25 goals right now, and we're questioning his ability. I'm like, it's just crazy. But he's
a much better player.
He's a much better. I mean, right, you're saying he's the one that probably is the next step. But, I mean, Strome has been completely
invisible.
Strome
shouldn't even be up here
now. Yeah, I think Lee's been more of a hard luck because he's doing the right things most nights. He goes to the net.
He does.
He just had regressed a lot from what he did last year with goals and stuff.
And then it's also the play without the puck also. But the other thing is this, if you think about it, over the course of the season, all three of those young players have played on John Tavares' line for extended periods of time. And I think their lack of contributions is affecting JT's statistics. If you look at his numbers, they're down substantially from a year ago, and part of it is he doesn't have that complementary piece on his wing that's going to, you know, help lift his game to the next level. And Islander fans have been crying out for that for quite some time.
Do you think it's the fact that it seems that Cappy is just not comfortable with something, or comfortable with guys and doing this change? Because, you know, obviously in the past he never really changed his lines that much. Now he seems to be overchanging, and it just gives people on the Facebook boards and all this stuff, fuel for the fire, if you will. You know, I mean,
continuity.
You know, Cappy's changing his stripes, but they don't care. You know, it seems like the fans don't care.
Well, look, if he changed his lines every shift, if he put names in a hat every shift and just pulled them out at random and they won, I don't think anybody would care and they'd say he was a genius.
Right,
so,
yes. Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you lose, they're going to find fault with you no matter what. And if you win, they're going to overlook almost anything no matter what.
Brad Kurtzberg, please report to right wing. Brad Kurtzberg, please report to right wing.
But with that number one line with Tavares, Bailey, and Strome, it has to be, if you look at it, those are the two wingers, it has to be one of the worst number one lines in the NHL because – this is not. I mean, it's not only Bailey and Strome. It could be Lee or, like you said, Nelson. It's just that they just don't have. They need to bring up Kyle or somebody else to play with Tavares, and maybe his numbers wouldn't be down. You know, 17, 15, 17 points like he was from last year.
Well, my wife actually says that John is the president of the I Hate Josh Bailey fan club.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of vice presidents.
Oh, God.
Barkley, so.
He's not having a great year.
They're not a president. They're a client.
That's right. But
he's got 30
points. there's a lot of guys that aren't stepping up, though.
That's absolutely true, and it's a problem. And, look, if you just compare last year to this year, and you go up and down the lineup, most guys had a better season a year ago.
Right.
It's just straight. You could talk about Letty and Boychuk and I mean, with the exception maybe of Calvin DeHaan, I think all the defensemen had better years last year also.
Right.
You're pretty much on the money. Of course, we still have the best fourth line in hockey.
Best fourth line in hockey.
Which is true.
The problem is it's also the best line on the ice for the team.
Which is scary. Scary.
That is not what you want if you want to win consistently. Right. You're not going to score enough.
I mean, how many goals, the game winners, does Clutterbuck, or game tying goals, does Clutterbuck have this season?
He is just, when they need him, he steps up.
Right.
And you could look at what Nito Niederreiter is doing in Minnesota as far as numbers are concerned. And, yes, he's, you know, more productive on paper than Clutterbuck, but I don't think he's more valuable to the team than Clutterbuck.
No, absolutely
not. And looking back at it right now, that was a good trade for the New York
Yes.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before earlier today. We said exactly the same thing. Because
great minds think alike.
Yeah, because what they do with the hits, what him and Martin do with the hits, plus how they're playing. I mean, he's had 20 goals before. Clutterbuck, he could do it again. He's got
a great
now.
Shot. He's got a quick wrist shot. He shoots when he can.
Yeah,
he was a 20-goal scorer. He had 20 goals in Minnesota.
He did. He could do it again. He's got 15. There's still some games left. He could get 5 goals in a couple games.
Look, if he gets hot at the right time, and after what he did last night to basically bail out the team and get them to 2 points that they probably at most deserve one, you take that and put it in your back pocket, and hopefully he catches fire. They need someone.
Right now, just going over the stats, Nino Niederreiter has 19 goals and 22 assists for 41 points, and Clutterbuck is 16 and 7.
Is it? He's a Cy Young
15
candidate.
And 7. Yeah, he's a Cy Young Award winner.
But also, you got to count the hits in, how he bashes guys into the boards like there's no tomorrow.
Like I said, game winners, game tying goals.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't have it on ESPN.
It's the hits, it's the clutch goals, it's the penalty killing.
Right.
There are so many facets to his game that go beyond points. And with Niederreiter, obviously, that's not as much of a case.
No.
I agree with you. I agree.
And he just likes to tick people off, too.
So what's the news on Halak? Is he? I know he's not going to be back for the first round, but if they get out of the first round, is he going to be healthy enough to come back?
Well, you know, if you're talking about 6 to 8 weeks, you got to – I mean, would they send him down to Bridgeport if Bridgeport is in the playoffs for rehab? Do they work him out separately? He would come in kind of cold. And you figure if they're in the second round, they're probably getting good goaltending to begin with. I don't know what happens at that point.
Right.
I mean, you would figure Greiss would have to be hot to get them out of the first round, especially if they're playing – you know, a Washington or something.
I hope it's either Florida or
right. If they're playing Florida or Tampa or Boston, that does sort of open things up. But yeah, I mean, you got to figure they're getting good goaltending if they make it to the second round, and that really puts Capuano in a dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Thomas Greiss, he hasn't played 36 games in a season since the AHL, I think like 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's been fantastic in what he's done. I mean, no one in this room should make any negative comments about it. But, but you have to figure at this point, if they win a series, as much as Halak has meant to this team over the last 2 years, I wouldn't want to bring him in. I wouldn't want to bring somebody in that cold.
That becomes the big issue, unless you're playing, you know, Florida or Tampa and winning games, you know, 6-4 every night. Maybe then you think, hey, I got nothing to lose. But I don't know if this team is really capable of, you know, winning 4 games, scoring 5 or 6 goals a night.
Not the way they're playing now.
No. not at this level. All right. So here's the other question we were talking about during the second half hour. Do you really think that Brian Strait has something on the coach that gets him in the lineup? Does he got naked pictures or something?
Jeez.
I mean, what is it? I mean, you know, and I think John really loves Ryan Pulock, and I do too. I loved watching him in Bridgeport last year, and you know he did an amazing job. He's got tremendous talent, but do you think it's more the fact that there aren't necessarily defensemen don't necessarily get that, you know, that exponential start to their careers, like most offensive guys, like a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel or something like that, that sometimes it takes time and you don't get, like, for example, I use the Aaron Ekblad. I mean, to me, he's a one-of-a-kind defenseman. I mean, he was lights out above everybody else. I haven't seen a defenseman that good come out, you know, in a long, long time. I mean, do you think Cappy's doing the right thing with him? Do you think he should get more time? I mean, obviously, he's only getting 14 minutes of ice time. And, you know, we all say he's got a hard shot. 10 games, 6 shots.
Because he's not out there in the power play.
Well, here's the thing, though. He's got a hard shot, but it's not necessarily accurate yet. And I've seen him take a lot of shots at the net, but not on the net. And, look, what you said before, young defensemen typically take longer to develop than young forwards. And I'm not defending the decision not to play him or bring up Mayfield more or you know, get some of these youngsters more ice time and get them ready for the playoffs. But I think there's a general reluctance within the organization to do too much too soon on these younger defensemen because – Take a look at a guy like Victor Hedman, who was drafted, you know, the same year as John Tavares.
Right.
You know, he had a good rookie year. Then, like, his next year or two, you know, not great. But by the third or fourth year, he starts to develop into an all-star type of defenseman and a dominant defenseman. And now, you know, you got to talk about him if you're having a conversation about some of the better defensemen in the league. But, you know, John Tavares, the forward, drafted just, you know, one or two spots ahead of him, he was ready pretty much from day one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I can remember like it was yesterday. They were saying, who are they going to take? Victor Hedman or Tavares?
Yeah, that was a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer for
me, at least.
No, I think all three teams in that scenario, because Duchesne has been a great contributor to Colorado. I mean, obviously not a lot of playoff success or anything like that, but they love him there, too. So I think that was, you know, 1, 2, and 3, all were winners.
Right.
I was just bringing up the point with Pulock is that, you know, they're going into the playoffs, and why wouldn't you play him more so he gets ready for the playoffs?
Well, maybe they will. They will phase more ice time as the
Strait,
season next 2 weeks go.
A turnover machine.
He has nights where he does play. He makes great plays. And, you know, from reading stuff, he seems to be a very good locker room guy.
He is. That I will say that the guys love him. But you know what? He's the type of player, I think, and Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're not talking about him during the play-by-play, he's doing a good job.
Right.
Right. He's the kind of guy, if you don't notice him, he's doing his job well. But I think for the organization and for Cappy, and again, not defending it, just sort of explaining it, they know what they're getting with Brian Strait. He is, you know, a known quantity whereas the younger defensemen, they don't know exactly what they're going to get. They don't know when push comes to shove and the pressure is on and a big situation is coming, what they're going to get from them. And they're a little gun-shy about getting them into, you know, big games and big contests. And, you know, it literally takes, like, two injuries and, oh, Marek Zidlicky is tired because it's a back-to-back game or three games in four nights. So, okay, we'll let the young kid play today and sit, yeah. You know, our seventh and eighth defenseman. It's crazy. They really are very reluctant to give the young kids on the blue line a shot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the last couple of minutes we got you on here before we take a break. Let's switch gears. Sports Illustrated, Mets on the cover, lose 10 in a row or not win in 10 games. What do you think?
Boy, you know, that jinx has to end.
I hope so.
That's when Brad goes on the cover next month. Sports Writer of the Year.
Oh, God.
Am I making a thick in here or is it just me?
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, all joking aside, I think with the starting pitching that the Mets have, they should be in contention all year, and they should make the postseason. Obviously, injuries can always spoil the best-laid plans of any team, but you got to like that pitching staff on paper. The hitting is good enough. There's always the trade deadline to tinker and you know, tweak the lineup a little bit depending on who's hot, who's injured, et cetera.
Or not play a fly ball going into the bottom of the fence.
Oh, gosh. That was like deja vu all over again for mm-hmm. Mets fans, I tell you. But at least it didn't count this time.
Yeah, that's true.
And, yeah, I mean, look, the Mets lead the majors in ties this exhibition season.
Yes.
So, you know.
There's one thing that you hang your hat on.
I think when, like, Wheeler's coming up in, was it June? June or July 1st? Or
June.
Like that?
He should be up mid-June.
To me, on paper, like we said, they have the best staff in baseball. If you really look at it, especially when Wheeler gets in there,
and you have that extra quantity. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to have, if it keeps going, I think Cologne's going to be brought up to the mound on a wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, you know, it'll be good because Cologne will be like
either that, or he's going to bypass the all you can eat at the Old Country Buffet before he goes.
Yeah, I know.
Or a crane, one of the other.
He had six. What do you have? Five shutout innings the other day, or something.
Yeah,
like that?
I mean, but that's the amazing part about him.
Yeah,
he gets the job done. You know, you can have him eat a side of beef. You know, come out the next day and throw six scoreless innings.
It looks like it too.
Just strike out seven. You know, and maybe get a hit.
One for every plate he fills.
I don't know how he does it, but.
But anything surprise you with the spring training? I mean, obviously, you don't gauge everything on, you know, what's going to happen in October by what's happening in March. But, anything tickle your fancy or at all?
The big concern I still have is the middle relief. I'm still concerned about getting to the eighth and ninth inning, guys. And that is, you know, it's so hard in Major League Baseball to predict year to year how relief pitchers are going to do. And you need those sixth and seventh inning guys to at least be established by the time the pennant drive really kicks into gear. By the trade deadline, you want to have those roles more or less defined. I'm worried the Mets didn't spend a lot of money on the bullpen, you know, middle relief. And you don't want to spend too much, but a lot of unknown quantities in there right now, and that's my biggest concern.
Look what the Yankees did. I mean, after the sixth inning, it's a shutdown. Really
right.
Shut down what the Yankees went out and did. I mean, I wish we would have got one of those guys. And
once you get to May, they should be set. Yeah.
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 Well, now, what do you think about Wright? What do you think his back's going to hold up this year?
If you get 120 games,
yeah.
You get 120 games out of David Wright, you're jumping for joy.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'd rather even see him if the Mets are in good shape for the playoffs. I'd rather see him play 110, and be more healthy and rested for the playoffs. Than if he's going to play 120, 125 and sort of be limping into the playoffs, so to speak. That back is never going to get better. It's a degenerative condition. You got to manage it and sort of, you know, try to be as pain-free as you can for as long as you can. I mean, I've heard it takes him more than a couple of hours to prepare for every game.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's easy for us to talk about, but could you imagine 2 hours of treatment just to go to work every morning?
Could you imagine 2 hours of treatment to come on a radio show?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know?
How many vocal exercises can you do?
I know this is what I was thinking. Because last year, especially in the World Series, he looked really like it was kind of painful watching him play third. I was just thinking. I know he's not a very tall guy.
I like now that Wilmer Flores is becoming the Joe McEwing in this team.
That's right.
Playing first.
Yeah, well, maybe you move right over the first and put a little less pressure on him at third, throwing the ball over and putting him at first.
Yeah, well, the problem is where you got to put Duda. You're not putting Duda in the outfield.
No.
You'd be the next Rusty Staub. They can time him with a sundial.
Well, then maybe next year we get the designated hitter in the National League, and then you're all set.
Right to DH.
You don't start me. I'm just as much as
a traditional.
We're all traditionalists in this room.
Yeah, I do not want the DH.
No, I don't want the DH in the National League.
I don't either. But you know what? As much as I want to see David Wright finish his career as a New York Met, if it comes to the fact that, you know, he's better off contributing as a DH, I mean. If he has to go to the American League,
he's got to. If he wants to extend his career, there's going to be no question.
He has no choice, really.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean that probably is Duda's best position, also.
What, bench warmer? No,
of course. DH.
Yeah, exactly. He is.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, I think John here has more range of first base than sometimes Lewis.
I'm glad the Mets opened the pocketbook and their wallet spent a little money on Cespedes. I was happy about that, actually.
Yeah, no, I was too.
All right, so Brad, where can people, and I've always asked that, but I'll ask again, where can people find your wonderful writing?
Well, writing right now is at InsideHockey.com, where I cover the Islanders for that website. Been doing it for now. This is my 10th season. And then I have my own weekly podcast, which is on the STN.net, and it's www.thestn.net/Kurtzberg.
Yes, and I have been a frequent contributor and hope to again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Brad, we thank you very much for coming on, and enjoy the rest of the hockey season, and I'll actually see you. I'll be at the game on April 9th.
I am looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll see you then, and hopefully sooner than that. And, guys, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Right, hopefully by April 9th, the Islanders have it locked up.
Yeah, hope so.
We'll come down to that last Philly game.
No.
I don't want to be on that train ride home if they're not. All right, Brad, thanks again, buddy.
Take it easy,
Brad. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That was Brad Kurtzberg of the Inside Hockey and the STN Sports Network.
Good job.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we do, we will take your phone calls. That's right, guys. I know you got stuff you want to say. Rich from Manhattan's probably out there. I want to hear from you, buddy. All right, so the number to reach us is 631-888-8811 on Sports Talk 1240. We'll see you in a few minutes.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back for the last half hour, Sports Talk 1240. Gary, John, and John with you. Again, we're going to take calls to, this last half hour, so if you want to give us a shout, talk about anything, hockey, baseball, what have you, the Final Four, the last game for the Final Four being set up right now, 31 seconds left in the first half, University of North Carolina 43, Notre Dame 38. UNC's like my only team that I had them actually winning the tournament. I had my Final Four as the final game, sorry, is UNC and Villanova. So I got Villanova.
Did you have Duke at all left in there?
No, I had Duke going out. I had Baylor going to the Final Four. I had Baylor beating Duke in the second round, but Baylor didn't get out of the first round thanks to Yale. My godson goes to Baylor, and he, you know, I had to make sure that, you know, I had to take Baylor, and he's like screaming at me, you know, after the game. I can't believe, you know, he threw so many F-bombs out. I couldn't even want to think about talking about it. But, yeah, so quite a, it's been a quite a bracket busting year. This is a really, I mean, come on, think about
it. This is a tough one this year.
I mean, a 10 seed making the Final Four. First time ever. Think about that. You know, and Syracuse wasn't supposed to make this tournament. They were supposed to be an NIT team, and here they are in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Go figure. It's a crazy thing. So we are still at 2-2 after two at the Garden. We are
Let's go Rangers.
We are 1-1 in Vancouver in the second period. Chicago again, they're limping into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is not a good sign. I mean, defending Stanley Cup champions, and again, like just like you said, when all the trades they made, all the things they were doing, you think, oh, they've got to be.
Ladd was going to
They've
got to
be
up.
Coming for Bear. You know, I mean, Ladd was a very integral part of that first Cup team in 10.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I so wanted him to come here. You know, even when they were drafting him, I wanted him to come here. He was the type of guy you build a team around.
Yeah.
You know, again, not going to be your biggest scorer, your biggest contributor, but he's a guy that you build, you know.
Right.
You get guys around him, and, you know, he's going to be a tremendous hockey player. But it is what it is, my friends. So
what do we got? We got Tuesday, Carolina playing the Hurricanes.
Tuesday, a rematch. Yep, that's right. And Thursday night, Columbus coming into town.
Must win both games, right?
A big win. Big win situation.
The big game is Pittsburgh on the 2nd of April.
Saturday afternoon.
Wow, good game.
Is that here or in?
It's in Barclays. Yeah, they've only got two road games left. April 5th in Washington and April 7th in the Garden.
They really
only got to leave for one day.
Right.
You know, so they're home for the rest of the time. So that's, you know.
There's no excuses now.
No, there are no excuses. Obviously, you got Pittsburgh on the 2nd. Tampa on the 4th.
That's a tough game.
Yeah, and then obviously the night after, they got to get on a plane, go down to D.C. to play the Caps on that Tuesday night, the Thursday night at the Garden against the Rangers, and then Saturday and Sunday, Buffalo and Philadelphia.
Well, here you go. Look at this. Look at the stretch. Pittsburgh, top, playing great. Tampa, possibly going for the division right now, right? Mm-hmm. Capitals clinched best team in the NHL, best record in the NHL, right?
Which means they'll be out by the second round.
Yeah,
the
Rangers, they're not looking good.
Ranger game, no matter what happens, we're 3-0 against them this year. I understand that. But no matter what, they could be in last or first or whatever it is. It's a top-notch Stanley, like a knockdown game. They got four tough games coming up back, you know, four in a row.
Yeah, they certainly do.
They got Buffalo, who's not really playing for much.
Yeah, but don't count that. That's a good team. And Bals, you know, my brother lives in Buffalo, so.
And Philly, the last game, that could be.
That could be a biggie.
You know why? Because that stretch with Pittsburgh, Tampa, Caps, and the Rangers, those four games right there can mean a lot. You got to at least take two out of four out of those games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking right now, they're at, 89 points? They've got it. They've got to reach 100.
Yep.
101 is going to, yeah, I mean, 101 got him in last year. You know, got the third place spot last year. So you figured 101's got to be that magic number.
Yep.
You know, maybe 97 if they're going to squeak into the wild card, but they're going to need every bit of that.
Right.
So you figure that's 8 points. I think the tragic number, I think, is like 12 or something like that. So I mean,
so you're saying they got to go 500 the last four games?
More? No, they got to go over 500.
Well,
97 should make the playoffs. 101 should get him to the two or the three spot.
Yeah. Right.
because that was what got him there last year. I mean, Washington and the Islanders were tied at 1-1.
8 games left.
Yeah, it's
there you go. That's it right there, Gary and Johnny.
You know, as that candidate says, it's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, again, 631-8811 is the number if you want to give us a shout. But my wife unfortunately didn't get to listen. She was having a problem connecting in, but she had vibes that you were, you know, being.
Maybe it's better off because I don't need to laugh.
Well, she said she's going to listen to it tomorrow, and she said she's got a problem. She's going to talk to you.
I didn't say anything bad about Bailey.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I did.
John's back. John P's backing out. Yeah. I like that.
But you know what, though? You know what?
No, but I don't have a problem with Bailey.
No, I don't.
Well, you know what? You have to have a little problem with Bailey. But you mean the way he's been playing. But it's not only – I mean, look, he's been playing really bad. Strom has been playing.
That's the guy
the worst
I have a problem with right now.
He's taking a severe turn downwards.
Degression. But, I mean, there's also other guys on there.
Oh, Kuhlman is finally
playing really good. Yes.
He's not stepped up.
That was a beautiful breakaway goal he had. And, you know what? Like you said, the defense is playing solid. I mean, they've been letting up a lot. That Grice letting up the 6 goals the other day just was.
How much of that was the D?
Exactly. How much is the D, and how much is it, you know, again. You're a professional. You train. You do whatever you got to do. But again, he has not played this many games.
Yeah. Strom gets the high stick. No, I'm talking about Grice. Grice. Yeah, I know.
He's never played this many games in the top league in the world.
Yeah, but you know, this is what's funny about the whole thing. I guess it's with a lot of mental stuff going on with some of these professional guys that are career backups. It's just that he's got the number one spot. He played great all year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now that he has. The weight of the whole team on his shoulders, it's the pressure's getting to him, and he can't, you know.
Well, hey, what did Yogi say? 90% of the game is 10% mental?
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
and no matter what, he's got Pittsburgh, Tampa, Washington, the Rangers coming up. He's got to step it up for those 4 games. Those are 4 tough games.
You have to figure. I think Berube will play tomorrow or Tuesday with Carolina.
Right.
You know, give him, you know, and put Grice in Thursday, you know, put him in Thursday, Saturday. Maybe put Berube in against Tampa. You know, but you figure he's got to play one of those 4.
I would put Berube in against Tampa because you don't want Grice going back in there with that letting up those 6 goals in his head.
Because they're
another jugger.
Yeah, because remember, that's a back-to-back game.
Right.
So I would
rather
put Berube in that game, rest Grice, get him ready for the Capitals. And then obviously 2 days later, he's going to probably go against the Rangers. You'll see Berube probably play in. On Saturday night against Buffalo, and then Grice finish up the year with Philly. You know, I think that would be the...
That might be a huge, huge game right there. That's a snow... Is that the makeup for the snowstorm?
That's the makeup for the snowstorm.
Yeah, that is a big... That could come down
to... April 9th was supposed to be the fan appreciation game. You know, the jerseys off the backs and stuff in the last game.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That's fantastic, right?
Yep.
That could be the game where either I'm jumping off the roof... Well, I'm eating a nice big cake and smiling right now, jumping up and down, sending out my happy tweets.
Hopefully,
I could be sending out my bad tweets.
Oh God, yeah. Well,
hopefully, it's already
Jekyll and Hyde with me. What? What was that, John? I'm sorry.
I said hopefully those games will kind of be meaningless. The Islanders will have already secured some kind of a playoff position at that point.
Well, you know what, John? Pull up Philadelphia's schedule to end the year. You know, that's what I want to see. I want to see their last their 8 games as well. You know, that would be obviously it's all going to be Eastern Conference. They're all going to be playing each. You know, because I believe they just finished their West Coast trip. They were playing. I think they're playing in Phoenix tomorrow.
Yeah, they're playing. Luckily they lost last night.
Yeah, they lost in Phoenix last night. Is that what it was?
Yeah, they lost last night 2-1 in Phoenix. That was a major plus for us.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry about that, guys.
That's okay.
You're going all the way down here. Here we go. They're last.
Right. They're right. They've got Winnipeg coming up, I think. Yeah, Winnipeg, Washington, Ottawa, playing at Pittsburgh, at Detroit, and at Toronto, and then they have at Pitt. They play in with Pittsburgh plays in Philly on April 9th. So they've got a rough stretch too. For us, you have to kind of hope that
the reality is the Islanders have
the destiny.
Yeah, if they keep winning, it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. You know, people say, well, this team's got to lose this team. It just comes down to the Islanders every night. They got to go for the 2 points. You know, and that's what's going to secure their destiny. You can't back into the playoffs hoping that other teams are going to lose when you want them to lose.
Exactly. Right, I agree with you. Well, look, I mean, look, they do it. Winnipeg, that's a winnable game for Philly.
Okay, all right, so crush your fingers. We got a call coming in. All right, you're on Sports Talk 1240.
Yeah, it's Ralph from Staten Island.
Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
What's up, Ralphie boy?
How are you, buddy?
Good. What can we do for you, sir?
What are you guys talking tonight? Islander stuff or what?
New York Islander.
You missed the show? Where
What's
you
the matter
been?
With you? You're supposed to be listening.
Oh, I know. Brian Trottier was on.
You missed Brian it. Trottier. What an awesome interview.
It was a good interview. The guy, we could have had him on for 2 hours the way he was.
I was with the family. You know, it's Easter. You know what I'm saying?
Happy Easter.
Yeah,
to
happy
you and
Easter,
family.
Ralph. I think I texted you, but happy Easter.
Yeah, what's going on? Brian Trottier was one of my favorite players.
Do you have a Trottier story for us with him? No.
Trottier is fantastic, but what do you think of what's going on tonight? What happened with Pittsburgh and the Rangers?
It's now 2-2 after two.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Yeah, we got to be Ranger fans tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that's going to hurt me and you, Ralph, but you know we have to. Hey, Ralph.
But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I don't know if I want to play the Rangers in the first round. I don't know if I want to play Washington in the first round. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you got a good point there. I know a lot of Islander fans are really excited about that potential scenario of playing the Rangers in the first round. But the way the Islanders have been playing lately, I don't know if I would really be comfortable with that first round matchup.
You can get Florida in the first round.
I like that.
You know what I don't like? The way the Islanders are playing right now, I think the guys, the amateurs, can play them the way they're playing. They're not playing good.
Are you strapping on skates there, dude?
Ralph, what do you think the problem is with the Islanders? What do you think it is? Maybe a line problem?
Yeah, here's the story. You got Josh Bailey on and Ryan Strome on a Tavares line. There's something wrong with that scenario right there.
Ralph.
Claire, I didn't say
that. I cannot agree with you more, Ralph.
Okay.
There you go. Bingo.
I mean, you know what? Tavares needs a good time winger who could score goals, and because he's getting beat up. And if you're playing the Islanders, you're going to go after the Tavares line because Tavares is the main player. Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
you're 100% right.
He's always got two or three guys on him all the time.
Well, like you know, like
and as my brother Joe says, okay, if he's got two or three guys on him, what are the other Islanders doing?
Right.
That's true. Yeah. You know that the fourth line is playing better than the first line right now for the Islanders.
Yeah, that's what Brad was saying.
Well, there's
Brad
no such thing as a fourth line.
Yeah, it's just the Cizikas line.
Again, I wouldn't do it now, but I mean, think about the prospects. Remember, when John Tavares first got into junior hockey, who was his line mate?
I've been talking about this to people all the time. Put Clutterbuck on his
wing. Clutterbuck was his teammate and his line mate in Oshawa.
Right.
And I think that year Cal scored, what, 35 goals in juniors? I mean, it's junior hockey. It's a whole different puppy. Yeah. But you know he's got the capabilities.
He does have a rocket shot.
And he's got a good shot, and he can again, allow JT to maybe have a little bit of an ability to get – himself to maneuver
around. Well, let me ask you this. That's a good point, but let me ask you this question now. You know, do you want to break up that fourth?
I didn't say this year.
Yeah, I didn't say this year.
Okay.
I didn't say this year.
Because the continuity with those guys is very special.
Granted, exactly. Don Cherry gets crazed over those guys, so I mean, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't say now. I would say look at it possibly for next season.
Yeah, put it and try it in training camp and see what happens.
Because you're going to have other guys coming up. You're going to have other, you know. You know, remember the youth that's in this system,
right?
Bovier,
and
Hosang, Dalcol.
I don't know if you guys agree, but I think Tavares needs a power forward on that line because you remember Bossy had Gilly.
Yes, I agree with you.
Well, that's what Anders Lee was supposed to be, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
Lee is the big guy.
I think again, here's what you're talking about bringing up and who that person might be. And I think it's in the person of Michael Dalcol. We've all been saying it all along that when he comes up, that's where you put him.
Right.
He's size. He's strong on his skates. He's got a great shot. He can do the things in the corners, which he basically, if you've watched what he's done this year, he was terrible in the beginning of the season in the OHL. He gets traded. He gets a little bit of a change of mindset, and all of a sudden he becomes a god again.
Now, I read that he's 2 years away.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope not. So sure.
I hope not. That's what I was reading.
I think if he continued his degression the way he was doing this season, yeah, I think he would be too. But the way he's played in the last 30 games in the OHL, Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys think of his goaltending situation? I don't know about this goaltending situation.
I think people are making too much of a big deal about it. I mean, other than the only thing that's got me uncomfortable is a point that we've been discussing a few times is about the number of games Greiss is able to handle.
Right.
But I'm not necessarily uncomfortable with Greiss and Berube as a tandem until we get Halak back.
Okay.
Granted, he's only got a very small sample set, as John said earlier, you know, in the NHL.
Right.
You can't take away from the fact that Berube won a title in the AHL last year. You can't.
No.
So he's been through pressure.
Right.
He knows. Granted, it's not in the highest league in the world, but he's been through enough pressure to know what to deal with come into April now and into May and what have you. So I think it's not as bad of a situation as you want. If it was just a regular AHL goaltender or what have you, you know, that's played maybe a couple of games in the NHL, maybe you'd be a little concerned. But hey, experience does make a big difference.
And you know, he didn't play bad yesterday. You know,
No, not at all.
No, I think there was definitely one goal he definitely would have wanted back. But you know, again, he's done nothing. He's done nothing wrong. Yeah.
No,
he's been the great foot soldier
that's
too.
That's not playing that good either. Don't forget. Sometimes the defense is not getting rid of those pucks in front of their net. Either.
Well, I mean, the Tampa game. I mean, you know, Hickey, who I think has really played well pretty much all season, just had an off night.
Yeah.
Right.
I think most of the guys on the team had it.
Yeah. When you get right down to it defensively.
Because we were outshot almost double, right? Would they have 40? Would we have 20?
Yeah, 40 to 20. Yeah, 20 to 20.
They double. That's
something lousy.
That's unheard of, really.
Yeah, who would we play in the first round as we stand? Is that Tampa?
No, isn't it Florida?
Right now it's Florida.
It would be Florida, which I would welcome that right now, Ralph.
Believe it or not, I agree with you. I think Florida, the Islanders could handle.
Yeah, we could come back. We beat them. You know, that's a team we could definitely beat. I like it. We went over the schedule.
I'm not so sure about that.
That's the problem with Florida.
You're not giving Florida the
I'm just saying if we're gonna play it's between Washington. I'd rather play Florida instead of Washington.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
But I mean, Tampa could be just as
Tampa could win that division too.
Yeah,
you're looking at the wild card right now. It's gonna be Florida or Washington. You're gonna play one of those teams,
right?
And we're gonna play Florida right now if the season ended today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather play.
What about? Did you hear what happened at Tampa? They lost their best guy.
They lost Stroman.
Yeah.
Stroman's out for the year.
That's a big loss.
It is a big loss. It is. He was playing number one pairing with Victor Hedman.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
That was some tandem going on over there. It's a big loss for Tampa.
I just want to give you this. Ralph, real quick. April 2nd. We have Pittsburgh, Tampa, Capitals, Rangers. Four in a row.
That's a tough gauntlet. You got to win two out of those four.
That's
the gauntlet. You talk about running the gauntlet.
Four out of the last eight games. There you go.
There you go.
And then we finish with Philly, the last game of the season. So.
Oh, wow. Philly. Yeah, Philadelphia Flyers came on strong at the end. It really did. Give them credit.
That's going to be – if Philly's fighting for that last spot, it's going to be a very interesting game.
And guess who the goaltender was for Philly? The guy we got rid of last year, Novar.
Yeah.
No, he's hurt.
He's hurt.
I heard.
It's Mr. Mason.
But he was doing good.
Novar was doing very well. Yeah, they had a 1A, 1B situation, and they were doing quite well. But, now it's got to be Mason to carry on the whole.
And I think there's a lot of NHL pundits that think that Mason's going to collapse under the pressure, but I personally don't think so.
No. I think Mason looked good the other night, to be honest with you.
And he's done it. He's played, he's played
well. He looked
good
against us, yeah.
Yeah.
He's played well when he was in Columbus. He's played well as a Flyer, and I don't see why he can't finish out and carry this team.
Exactly.
Ralphie, real quick, what do they got to do now to turn this around a little bit?
I just think that the Islanders are talented, but they frustrate me every night. They make me get disgusted because of the way they're playing. They're better than that. The last month, they haven't dominated any teams. What they got to do is they got to play, stop turning over the puck in the neutral zone, and then – also, in the defense, you ever see him in the defense? Bailey. I don't know what he's doing. He gave a giveaway last night. They almost lost the game.
He killed me. I know he did. Behind the net. I saw that. Careful.
My wife might poke you somewhere. Behind that, though.
I'm not saying.
He blindly.
No, I know. We're kidding. It's a running joke we've been doing all
night. We're not trying to pick on Bailey or Strong.
No, we're not picking on
There are a lot of guys. Most of the guys, we do agree. that those two are the top of the list, but the, most of the guys are not playing up to what they're supposed to.
They have to stop being cute. Just shoot the puck on net. Just shoot.
You know,
that was the hallmark of this team last season, out shooting every team every night.
Thank you, John.
They're not doing it. They're looking to pass. They cross the blue line. They get speed. You know, they come through the blue line with speed, and then what do? They look to dish the puck off instead of going to the net or shooting on net.
Right.
Shane Prince is the only guy who's shooting the puck when he has the chance.
Right.
John Sweeney, just take a look at John over here.
He's getting all fired up.
Hold on, Ralph. I gotta make this statement. Right now, John looks like he's like getting ready to maybe make a presidential run. he really is. He's saying make the Islanders great. That's what it is.
Make the Islanders great.
You're like a politician. Say one thing.
City on the hill.
We all do it.
Yeah.
But you know what though?
The thing I got to bring out to you guys is the reason why I agree with John is because he's right. The Islanders fancy pass too many passes. Shoot the friggin' puck, like you said. Shoot it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
If you have 5 feet in front of the net or 6 feet in front of the net, don't be passing the puck back. Because anything can happen. Look at Clutterbuck yesterday. In overtime, it deflected off one of the defensemen, and it went into the net. Shoot the puck. Don't wait for the perfect shot.
Exactly.
Shoot it. Let it rip.
Right. And they got shooters on this team.
Another thing is they got to play, like I said, I know that you're saying about Pulock, but that's the last time I'm going to bring it up. But I will say, they got to play Pulock a little more instead of straight, but we'll see. That's another.
You know what? You know what I'm coming out at as a result of this conversation?
What's that?
Hockey's an easy game.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We should just be coaches.
I want to give major kudos out to Cappy. 40 wins again, back-to-back, and he's doing with not much on that team.
Exactly.
And you got to give the guy a lot of credit, no matter what.
All I know is if the people that are on Bleep Blue and Orange and 516 and all those others that are going to be, you know, if they're listening to the show, they're probably going to be like.
And last but not least, guys, Gary, what do you think it is? Oposo, free agent at the end of the year. What do we do?
It's so hard right now. It really is. I mean,
yeah, we were talking about this.
We were talking about it, you know, because obviously you got the situation with the cap.
Right.
That we don't think the cap numbers are going to go up next year. They're either going to stay flat or possibly go down a little
bit.
So that could lead back to, you know, us maybe having a shot at him because now if it would have went up, you know that he's looking at who got signed last year and this year and what money they're getting.
Right.
And he's going to want $7 million. And I'm sorry, he's not worth $7 million.
No, he's not worth $7 million, but he did score 21 goals again this year. Not bad.
I agree.
He's worth money.
He's worth the money. And I think Garth will give him a good raise. I don't think he's not stupid.
No.
But I just think that he can't deserve, you know, Claude Giroux money and guys like that, you know, because I don't think he's at that level.
No, he's not at that level.
He's slightly underneath. And if he's a highly educated man, and I think if he's smart enough, he wants to stay with this nucleus. And believe me, there's a lot of love for Kyle Oposo inside that room.
He was a part of the building block.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what? You hope that you get a hometown discount for it.
Exactly.
You know, but, oh, God, I see John's phone
Hold
here.
Hold on. July 1st, 2016. You know what that is, Ralphie?
Yeah, it's the free agent thing?
No, it's Wang is no longer
really the
owner of the New York Islanders.
Yeah, but you know the worst thing is? John's got it as a reminder on his calendar. That's the scary part.
Well, there you go.
You know, your buddy Derek was here, he'd be giving you the royal holy treatment.
I want the Islanders to open their wall a little. Right. And look, I don't want to get into the future here, but I think they need another score.
Well, you got it. Before we even go down this road.
We got 2 minutes, guys. So,
well, just a quickie then. Before we even go down the road about signing guys, you know, I think people overlook the fact that Snow, the way he's managed this team financially to keep the core of this team together.
Right.
You know, that's what you got to consider because JT is going to be a free agent in a couple of seasons.
He's getting $5.5 million.
No, he's up for a raise.
My point is. Open the wallet for Oposo, Franz, and Martin, and let them stay here, and let's keep this
tight together. I think we'll have to hold that conversation for another day. Listen, we got to let you go there, my friend.
Okay, no problem. Listen, be safe. Have a happy
day. You too, Ralph.
Take care. We'll catch you soon.
Ralph, I'll talk to you soon, Ralph, okay?
Yeah, pal.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Guys, 2 hours just flew, man.
I know.
Great show.
Listen, we thank Brian Trottier. We thank Brad Kurtzberg very much for coming on tonight with us. Again, Thank you, Mr. Sweeney, for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
You know, I mean, we only brought him here because John needs a ride home. So that's really what it's for.
Well, I threaten you guys.
Your wheels.
I said, no, you're right. Okay,
exactly.
That's fine.
But John and I are back on April 24th, and hopefully we're talking about the going into the second round of the playoffs.
I hope so.
And hopefully we're talking about the Ranger demise.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Derek. But
and if not, it's Mets baseball.
Yeah. So.
Hey, cross your fingers. Actually, Saturday I'm trying out to be the public address announcer for the Long Island Ducks.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. With that. Can you hear me now? Yes. Batting for the Long Island Ducks, number 20, Lou Ford.
I like it.
There you go.
And as we just before
unfortunately, we're getting a call and we're going to have to go off the air. But again, go ahead, John. 2-2?
2-2 left. 7 minutes left in the third. And, you know, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, we got to say this. Go Rangers.
I guess Carter had too many points last night. So
yeah, exactly.
And Casper the Ghost Nash, let's step it up and do something, will you?
Yeah. Well, again, good luck to the Rangers, and good luck to the and good luck to the Mets, and good luck to the Isles. And hopefully, like I said, we're back on the 24th and talking some serious Islander playoff action. I think Bill Donahue is back next week. Make sure you check us out, sportstalk1240.com. Our podcast will be on the air on the website tomorrow. Again, at Hockey Blindside, at AllyCat010, at GHardingWGBB. And make sure you check out sportstalk1240.com for all the latest info. Guys, it was great.
It was a pleasure, guys. One more thing.
Take care.
Let's go Islanders, right? Let's go.
In the words of Bill Hayes, keep skating, everyone. Take care. Have a great night. Happy Easter.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.